funny enough, in January, I did like a vision board workshop thing. And the girl leading the workshop, you know, had seen that I had posted some stuff about bodybuilding and weights and things like that. So she tells me, I did a WBFF show. And I was like, whoa, this is fate. This is too cool. So we started talking about that. And then that's when I said, okay, that's it. I'm going to call Erica tomorrow. And I gave her a call. She told me all about you guys and about the show and everything. And that's when I gave you a call and you're like, just come in tomorrow and bring your kids. So there I was.
I remember we talked on a Saturday. We were pulling into the gym. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We called, and I do remember you said, what about my kids? And I'm like, our kids are here.
You're like, bring them. I was like, okay.
Our kids are always here.
Yeah.
Actually, I came with her, the girl.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. So did you have, and I ask this because a lot of times people have preconceived ideas as to what goes into this kind of situation, right? Where people get on stage, and even today we were talking to somebody that had ideas, right? Did you have ideas coming in on what you thought it was going to take to get you there?
I mean, I had no idea. You know, I know I didn't like the typical bodybuilding look. So I was very intrigued, but I had really no idea what it was about and how long it took and what you did. And, you know, so when I said, hey, I want to do this show in November, and you said, let's do it in June, I said, well, am I going to look like that in June? You know, like that picture on the walls of Lais. Mm-hmm. So I had no idea. I really did not know anything that I was getting myself into. So, okay. Lourdes.
And when you first started, right, like, so you're in, you're like, all right, we're going to do this. Did you think it was going to be like really strict? You know, like you were going to be eating tuna out of a can and stuff like that?
Well, Erica gave me, you know, a little background. I cheated.
I cheated.
Yeah, because she did tell me, you know, the reason I work with Ralph and Lais is because, you know, Ralph is flexible and he understands that life happens. And so that was my deal breaker. If I can't have chocolate.
It happened to us, huh?
Yes. So she actually told me, she's like, you know, the only reason I did it is because it was so, you know, sustainable. You were able to do it, you know, on a regular basis and not eat tilapia and green beans every day. So she kind of gave me the heads up of like, it's going to be easy to do with the food. It's not bad. You know, you can do it. I said, okay. So that's why I
already knew.
I kind of already knew that, you know, if Erica was like, she blessed it. And I said, okay, then if you're, you know, if you feel that strongly about it, then I should be fine.
Okay, so mm-hmm. that's why. Sorry, right. We're having a little bit of a
echo.
We're having a little bit of an issue with, I guess, people seeing our live.
So oh, no.
It's okay. I mean, it's being recorded.
Yeah, that's fine.
So it's fine.
But what happened? Like, they can't see it? I can see it.
I can't see it when I go on Facebook.
No?
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens when you do live stuff.
Yeah.
I could see it on yours.
It's so weird. Yeah.
I could see it on yours. But this is the benefit. Look, like we're rolling. Yeah. I got two.
When I go on my thing, it's not there.
We're like, tech support. I need tech support.
That's so weird. Okay. Well, we are also recording. So whoever can't catch it live can always catch it later.
You could catch it on YouTube, and it's on this phone too. Yeah. You could catch it on YouTube. You can catch it in the Facebook page. It'll be recorded. It'll be on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, the whole
everywhere.
Shebang.
You're connected. You're
gonna
connected.
We're going to put it over the hospital loudspeaker. Just click on a loop. So, all right. So you cheated.
She cheated. And
she gave you the sub. All right. But still, here's the thing. So you get your meal plan. Right? I remember that part. You get your meal plan. Did you look at it and say, this isn't going to work?
I mean, I looked at it and I had chips and chocolate covered almonds. So I was confused. And I'm like, okay. So as I ate them, I was like, and my husband was like, what are you doing? I said, that's what he told me to eat. So I'm going to eat it, you know, but I didn't, I said that day or the next day, I told you, okay, you know, trust the process. I'm just going to go with it. I'm diving in, and as I left your gym, I was panicked because I thought, what the hell did I sign up for? I'm crazy. Who do I think I am? But okay. But so I went and I ate my 1 ounce of chips and my 7 chocolate almonds for like 3 weeks, I think you gave me that.
Were they so delicious?
And it was delicious. I went with it.
But how much of a, you know, people that watch our stuff are just like you. Like they, you know, they yeah. want to feel better, look better, but you know how much stuff is out there. Like even today, I was reading some crazy stuff today. Really? About it was about like the time, it wasn't even intermittent fasting. It was like at a specific time, you have to stop eating a specific kind of carbohydrate.
Can you imagine? We would die.
No, and as a matter of fact, there's a really, and this is how it is live. We just talk.
Yeah.
There was a really big debate a few years ago. This guy, Larry Taubes, who wrote a whole bunch of stuff on how sugar is really, really bad, right? And he got into a debate with a very well-known, very well-informed, science-based nutritionist, and they got into live debate, and I forget what book he wrote, but it's a very famous book on how sugar is terrible. It's the devil, right? So they got into a live debate, and this guy came with a bunch of studies and facts and real information, and Gary Taubes, all he could say is like, no, you know, people gain weight because they consume too much sugar, period. Like he didn't really have an explanation about any of it. It's just what he believed and what he felt. And he said it strongly enough that a bunch of people bought into his stuff. And that's what I see happening most of the time. People just buy into whatever and they just do whatever,
especially
right?
Especially nowadays with so much information.
And then you come and you try to explain something and say, listen, you know, here's how this is gonna go and here's what's gonna happen. And some people like you will say, okay, I'm gonna do it, you know?
Yeah.
Even if there's a noise in there that says, this doesn't really add up.
But I mean, you know, we all have our preconceived ideas of food and how things are and all that kind of stuff because we've been hearing it all our lives and we've been doing it. But for example, me, I thought you had to have brown rice, brown pasta, brown sugar, nothing white, nothing processed because that's the devil, right? And I never had, you know, white rice, you know, at night and all these kind of weird things because that's what you always hear. Carbs are bad and carbs are going to get you fat. So, you know, and I was doing right before I met you, I was doing plant-based kind of, sort of. And so, and here I'm thinking, you know.
They have croquetas that are plant-based?
No.
No
croquetas. But I just was, you know, and it's funny because I would go to bed and I was hungry, you know, I wasn't even eating enough, which is ironic, right? So yeah, we all think all these weird things that, and you hear people telling you these things back to you. They repeat it back to me.
We believe it so much. It's like, it doesn't matter that you have a professional in front of you with all of these before and afters and all this knowledge and all this science and all these facts. Yeah. We are going to hold on to like what grandma said growing up or what your neighbor said, right? Or what your coworker said. It's so crazy how like we choose what we're going to attach to.
Yeah.
But I'm convinced, like it's really big in our, you know, in our Latin community to not eat after a certain time. And it had nothing to do with intermittent fasting.
Right.
You know, the term is not new, but that isn't why people were doing it. I'm convinced that it had, because I remember my grandmother like cutting things out, not food, but just everything. Like everything had to stop at a certain time. And one day I was thinking about it, right? And it's because that's the time the novela started.
Oh,
and at 8 o'clock, everything had to stop.
Novela.
No one could eat. No one could, like, the lights had to go off. It was time to watch the novela. And then, you know, whatever, it ended at 9, and then that was it. You're closing up shop for the day.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, right? I'm like, I'm sure most Latin households are probably very similar. And I think that at some point that got ingrained.
Said, that's how the APM came about.
Right. Like
that's like the evolution of the food.
I mean, again.
The funny thing is all of the people who always told me don't eat after 8, don't eat all this rice, didn't look like they should be giving advice on nutrition or food or fitness or anything like that. But that's a whole other story.
So, all right. So you start your plan and you're 3 weeks in, you got chips, you got chocolate covered almonds,
poke bowls.
Poke bowls. Ooh. Isn't that what you wanted?
Yes.
cafecito and croquetas. I remember we had all that. Oof. Yeah.
I want a poke bowl.
Look at that plan. Cafecito, croqueta, poke bowl.
And then there was an open meal. The Fuddruckers. I'll never forget. I sent you a picture of this burger and I said, am I supposed to eat this entire burger or do I eat half? And you're like, just eat it. But the whole thing? And you're like, eat the whole thing. I'm like, okay.
I don't have that anymore.
No, Marcy's like, I ate it already. Is that what
I'm like, I'm done. I ate it.
Too late.
No, I don't even ask. I ate it. Yeah.
It's so funny. Yeah. But, you know, moving into, and you were working out at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been working out at home for like 2 years by then. Yeah.
So here's something that I think we talked about it with Julie, or maybe we skipped right over it. So you came to see a Super Bowl Sunday. Four weeks later, COVID. Like, punches COVID. All of us in the face.
Yep.
What was, you know, and I know that we've talked about it in the past, but was this goal that was over here that you were working toward, you know, the thing that kept you, like, at least I've got this thing that, you know, that I want.
I mean, I honestly, doing this was, it saved me. It kept me sane throughout this entire year because, like you said, it was a goal. And so, you know, when I have a goal, I'm not a quitter. I like to meet, you know, just finish the goal. And just having something that I could control in this uncontrollable environment that we were living in, the meal plan, like I knew what I had to eat. I knew that I had to work out. I knew I had to drink my water and, you know, meet with you guys. And it was like a nice constant, you know, that I knew that I could control and just, and have, and honestly, what kept me going was that you guys were so positive about it. And so, you know, so you were moving forward. So as long as you were confident and you were saying we're moving forward, I'm like, okay. Cause you know, some people are like, forget it. We can't do it. It's done. You know, it's not gonna work. And you know how it is. And so then you're like, oh, but you know, I was always on that bandwagon of like, if they say yes, I'm all in, you know, but I was always monitoring to see like your reaction, you know, if you're going to be like, well, I don't know. But you were like, no, we're doing it. We're doing it. It's going. So as long as you guys said that, I was like, okay, this is happening, you know?
And the funny part is, in retrospect, like, you know, looking back now on the coaching side, you know, it was the thing that made the biggest difference for all of you, right? There was this really big goal that, you know, because even at the gym, like so many people said, oh, that's it. Like not, maybe they didn't go like that, but they're like, they really just put a halt to their life.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? When everybody did that, they never thought that we were going to be in the situation for all this time.
Right.
No, like, everyone was okay putting a halt to life because they're like, all right, like a few weeks, right? Like the quarantine was supposed to be 14 days. So, all right, two to three weeks. Okay, 4 to 6 weeks, right? So it's like, it's okay to stop your life for a few months. But people stopped their life not realizing it was going to be a year.
Yeah.
Who knows, right? And it's like having that thing, you're so right, that you can actually control in a time where you can't control anything else. And maybe you can't control, or not maybe, we couldn't control if the show was going to happen or when. But you can control all of your effort and all of your work into that. And I think that while some people might be like, wow, that's so stressful at a time like that, it's the opposite. Like, some of my best preps have been at like the worst times of my life. Like, my two best preps were at a time where like everything around me felt like it was falling apart, but it was like the thing that I went all in on. And you just dive in, and that's the thing you can control. So, I hear
it was like that sacred space, like, you know, I'm going to work out. This is mine. And, you know, I have my goals, my work. Like, it's just, it gave me like that, I mean, it sounds so cheesy, but it gave me that peace. Like, okay, this is my thing and my space. And, you know, I'm in control of it. So it just gave you something to look forward to and something to plan for. And I mean, how many times did we switch? Cause it was Orlando and LA and, or not LA, Arizona. And then we were going to go, you know, it was like constant Dallas. Okay, let's move it again. I even bought my tickets, I think, for Arizona, you know, and then I like reversed them. So I just kept going with it.
But I think overall, like even what you said, right? Like without this goal, I think through all of this stuff that I'm sure in a few years, we're all going to look back at and say, wow, like we like overcame all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think throughout all this stuff, not only for you guys, because you guys have a much bigger goal than most people, right? Most people, maybe they want to lose a few pounds. Maybe they want to look a little bit better. Maybe they're looking to improve the quality of their life, whatever. But this goal is a lot different than that. But I think that in spite of that, the thing that we could all control during this time was whether or not we decided to exercise, whatever it might mean.
Have a goal.
Right, have a goal. Control what we ate. You know, if anything, we had time now to make sure that that was getting done.
We were gifted time.
For sure.
And I think that, you know, hopefully we don't live through another pandemic in our lifetime, but you know, it's a, it could be a metaphor for anyone else and during anything else in their life, right? Like someone going through something hard or going through something they can't control, or maybe in a position where they feel like everything is against them or all the odds are against them, that it's not the time to do something like that. The opposite, it is the time, right? Like if you can do it during a pandemic, like you can do it during a divorce or, you know, crazy life things, right? So that's, I think.
I mean, working out though in general, for me a few years ago, when I started doing it, and I always worked out, I've always been active, but when I started working out, I think like 3 years ago now, it became like something I needed for my mental health, just for like that, to, you know, because I would do it early in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. And it would just, you know, set the tone for the day. And I had to do it because if I didn't do it, I just didn't feel the same. Right. And, you know, I remember I was going to the gym back then and my husband was training for the Ironman. And then he had to start doing two-a-days like 5 months in. And when he told me that, you know, oh, I have to work out in the mornings, you know, you have, you're going to have to work out here. I'm like, oh my God, I have to work out. So I had to figure it out because I had to do something. I had to work out, but you know, it became like, it gives you that peace, that sense of, you know, okay, this is good for me, for my mind, not only my body, but for my mind, you know, it just set the tone for the day, gave me energy. It put me in a better place, really. And that's what working out ended up being for me a few years ago versus, oh, I have to lose weight. I have to work out just to look skinnier at the beach. Yeah.
You get to do it, right? You want to do it, not you.
It was more like a need now for my well-being, and like really. But so yeah, definitely changed.
So again, it happened. You stayed focused, right? Like you know, tonight is really about your story. You stayed focused. We were training initially when we talked. We were getting ready for that show in June in Orlando, right? And at the time, like she said, they said, you know, 14 days. You know, and it turned into maybe 4 weeks. So our thought process was like, all right, it's March. Even if this takes 2 months, by the time June rolls around,
we're fine. We'll be good.
You know, this will be long gone.
We have so much time.
And sure enough, as the day got closer, one thing is the uncertainty of whether or not the show was happening, right?
Yeah.
Another thing is this was your first experience doing this. And then the third thing is like, well, I don't know if this is happening. This is the first time I do this. Do I continue? How did all those thoughts like play out in your head?
I mean, honestly, I wanted to do it. You know, I was ready and I was always afraid that they were going to cancel it. And I was, you know, it was going to be such a huge disappointment. So I kept saying, no, it's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen. And everybody was like, that's not going to happen. That show's not going to happen. There's COVID, you know,
people
are such haters. So like negative Nellies everywhere, you know, but I'm like, no, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So to me, there was those moments that you were like, do I keep doing this? Because what about if this is canceled and then what? But I figured I'm just going to keep going and, you know, see what happens. And if they cancel it in July, then there'll be one in August or something and just keep moving. So I just honestly kept moving and just looking to see what you guys were going to do, like your reactions to it. And I just kept going because there was no other alternative. I mean, what else was there going on? Nothing. There was nothing else to do.
You know what?
Switch.
But you know what's funny? In listening to you, like the way my mind works in listening to you, it's like you were still going to get the outcome, right? Like the show may have been done, but the outcome was still going to happen. And
you were still going to put in the work.
You were 3 months in already. It's like, you know, and this, so... So at that point, you know, we start to hear like, well, that show's gone and that show's done and the other show's canceled. And as we're getting closer, you know, it's like, shit, like, you know, we're in this, like, now what? Because all the shows were canceled one by one. It wasn't like they said, all right, let's just close the season out.
They didn't call.
It was like dominoes.
Because I think everybody was hoping that something would happen.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we get word that Dallas is a go, and they're going to make that show happen. And you know, here we go. We're gonna do this. And we put news out to the team, and obviously there were a lot of people that started the process, and a handful of you said, "I'm in. I'm going to Texas."
Yeah, I'm in.
So
I mean, and it was iffy too, because that was at the height of it.
Yeah,
in July. I mean, July was a bad month, you know. And so of course you're gonna go on an airplane, but are you crazy? You know that you can't do that. And then I was concerned because I thought, are they gonna make me quarantine? Are they, you know, when I come back home to Miami, like my hospital, there was just so many ifs. But I was like, well, if the show's happening, I'm going. Like, I'm there. I'm doing it.
Way too much work.
I was determined.
Like that. I'm doing this, you know.
Yeah. I was doing it.
That commitment.
That conviction to, yes. Like, I'm doing this no matter
what. I was ready. I wanted to do it. I was like, I'm doing it.
So how crazy is that? That one day you're walking in and you're like, I have no idea what this is, but I want to do it. The next day we're all getting on a plane to go to Texas to do it.
I know.
But, you know, honestly, I also acted that way because you guys did prepare us. You know, it wasn't like I was going into this blindly. So, I mean, I think that both of you do an awesome job from the beginning explaining what, you know, what's going to happen, what to expect, because I'm all about, I like to know what to expect, you know, like, tell me how this is going to be and what I'm going to see and feel. And so that helps because I already had a visual in my head of how this is all going to play out. Granted, I didn't know exactly how it was going to play out, right. But I visualized myself like on the stage walking and, you know, doing this whole thing. Yeah. So, you know, at that point I'm like, okay, I'm ready to do this. So, you know, let's do it. I was anxious. I was freaking out. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I had nightmares that whole week and I was anxious, but at that point I had gone, I've come too far. Like I need to do this now, you know?
Yeah. And how did that feel that weekend? So we when did we get to Texas? Saturday? Friday.
Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah,
Thursday. Yeah. You got there a little bit before us.
I got there the same day as you, Thursday. Yeah.
We thought we were on the same flight, but it was Miami.
So it's you've prepped, you've dieted, you felt good, you look good, but now you're in Texas, arriving to the hotel. Did the nerves start to kick in? Like, this is really happening.
Yeah. I was panicked. I was, all I kept doing, I looked like a crazy person in my room, in the hotel room. I kept practicing over and over because I was thinking, oh my God, what about if I freeze? What about if I fall? I mean, I just wanted to not fall, smile, and like not freeze, you know, because you think of all these horrible things happening. The anxiety was crazy. I mean, I didn't know, I was really nervous. And I remember standing in the line right before we went on, and I was like, take a deep breath. It's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen. And it's surreal. It's a surreal experience. I can't even describe it. You know, it's just crazy. It's a very surreal experience, but you know, like anything, you know, you just got to go with it and you do it and you survive. I did it. You know, I lived to tell a tale, but I was freaking out. I mean, I'm telling you, I had anxiety dreams, all kinds of stuff for a few weeks leading into the show. And when I was there, it was like, it was getting real. Like it was really, really real. So yeah.
It was so weird because that was the first time that we went anywhere. Like
for real.
It had been months.
Anywhere we got on a plane.
Right, I know. So we were all, I mean, all of us, we're all locked up. And then our first outing is like, all right, let's just go to another state and everyone's going to do all this stuff for the very first time.
We're like,
I mean, for us, we're super excited that the show happened. You know, we're like, thankful that it happened. But for you guys, it must have been, you know, so like, wow, like in spite of this is still going to go down.
Yeah. People thought we were nuts. Like, what are you guys doing? Doing a show in the middle of a pandemic?
Last show in Miami, I can't even imagine how that felt in Dallas, because this last show in Miami, at the very least, it's been months since this all has happened. Yeah. And while there's always a back and forth, like you said, the Dallas show was like in the middle of everything. And that was your first one, you know? So it's like, that must have felt even more surreal.
And how was that weekend for you? Like the whole thing?
Dallas?
Yeah.
Or Dallas? I mean, it was, I enjoyed it. It was my first experience. It was different. It was, you know, I had never experienced it. And Lais kept saying, you know, this is not the way it usually is. It's, you know, it's weird. It was different. It was small. There was nobody walking around the hotel. It was like a ghost town.
Except for us. We're at the gym working out. We're like,
yeah, we were at the gym.
We're in the hall closing.
I do remember feeling really lightheaded that weekend for some reason. I don't know if it was really hot or I was anxious or hungry. Something was going on.
That Texas dry heat is
My God. I almost passed out. I was hungry. I was hot. I was everything. But yeah, I mean, it was a weird weekend because of everything that was going on, but it was exciting at the same time, you know, and it was a small enough show that it wasn't too small, but it wasn't, you know, too big. Like it was cool. It was a cool first experience. Right.
But it was
honestly, different. I was just happy we were having a show. Like I was just happy that I got to put on the bikini and do the walk. And I'm like, okay, at least I did it. I did this thing, you know? So for me, it was fine. It was fun. It was fun that we actually got to do it.
And then how did that, like, you know, how did that feel from the day that you said, okay, I want to do this to, I know that it wasn't the big show, but to complete the task and say, I did get on stage in my bikini, you know, I did do the thing. I did it, you know, how was that?
Well, no, right after I got off the stage, I mean, obviously I was nervous, you know, and I, you know, you miss things, you do things, you know, awkward things, but I smiled, I didn't fall, I was good. And when I got off the stage, I was like, I did this thing, like, this is the shit, you know? I was so proud of myself that I actually did it. But, and it was so much fun. Like, I was on a major adrenaline high after that. I remember we were backstage with Bree and Julie, and we were like, oh, yeah, this is the best. Like, we had so much fun because, you know, we did it. And then Bree, like, I think she placed, and we were excited, and we did the TikTok. Like, we made the best of it. It was fun. But, it was great that we actually got to do it, period. You know, we did it. So it was like coming full circle for something that we had planned to do in June, and we got a little extra time and we ended up doing it anyway. So it worked out. So
I think a lot of times people miss the fun part because they're so overwhelmed.
With nerves, had fun.
And anxiety. Yeah. And stress and the knowns, right? So it's like, they're thinking like, I want to make sure I look perfect and I want to make sure that I go out there and I don't fall. And they're not thinking like how much fun I can also have. Yeah. But then you end up having fun no matter what. It's like, you can't avoid it. Like,
And honestly, it helps when you're doing it with other people. If I was totally alone, I couldn't have done that. But, you know, I've always liked to be in teams and with people, you know, doing these type of things, anything, honestly. But so the fact that I had teammates there, you know, like Bree was super helpful because she had done it before. So she was kind of like guiding us back there. And so, you know, we had each other and we were all feeling the same way and we were all giving each other pep talks. Like, we got this. And then the other girls were really nice too. I mean, all the girls were really nervous because it was on an amateur show. So everybody was there for the first, well, sometimes they were there for more than one the first time, but they were really nice and helpful. And so, you know, there was all kinds of women too, which made me feel better because, you know, you have this picture in your mind that you're going to the show and everyone's going to look crazy amazing, but there was all kinds of people there. I mean, regular bodies and, you know, all kinds of stuff going on. So I was like, okay, I don't look too bad. I think I got this. I'm good. So, I mean, I felt good, you know, I felt good in how I looked and the bikini and the tan was great. And I was happy with it. You know, I accomplished what I had to accomplish for those 5 months that I prepped for.
Right. So much so that when we got back, you know, and we started to look at the rest of the season, you're like, all right, let's do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, let's do this again. I mean, I always wanted to do two shows because I wanted to compare, you know, the first one to the second. So Miami was always going to happen for me, and I was actually going to jump onto Atlanta City too. I was like, I might as well do the other one. It's 2 weeks later. Why not? So I got excited and I was like, I'll do them all. I was like ready to do it, but just because I want to get better at it and feel better when I go on stage, you know, I want to be comfortable with it. So.
And we went on this ride together where, you know, that show happened and there were shows lined up after that, that still one by one kept being canceled, you know?
Yeah.
And you still stayed on the path. In spite of that, you know, with everything else that you got going on in your life, right? Like, you got kids, you got family, all that happened, and you still carved out whatever time you needed to carve out to exercise. Because it's not, you know, again, back to the misconceptions, you're not in the gym for 3 hours or 4 hours, like just beating yourself up. You know, you just carve the time to complete the work and you ate your food, you know. But your life kept happening.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I'm a rule follower. I do what I'm told. I like to follow, you know, like if you tell me this is how you have to do it, I, you know, who am I? I'm not the expert. That's why I'm with you. So you tell me what to do, I do it. And I didn't question it. I went with it. And yeah, like you said, I woke up every morning, you know, 5:30, did my workout, drank my gallon of water, ate my food, and moved on with life. I mean, it was just part of my day. You know, it became habit. It became habit. And I didn't even have to think about it, you know, whereas at the beginning when I would see Erica and I would watch her videos and she was weighing her food, I'm like, I don't think I can weigh my food. Like, that's ridiculous. But it's not a big deal. Like, we make up our minds so fast about something. I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna weigh my food. And I'm like, okay, it's really not a big deal. Like, instead of putting it on a plate, I'm putting it on a plate on a scale and looking at a number and that's it. I'm done. Like, it's not a big deal. So but fast. Again, things that we tell ourselves, you know.
Isn't it funny? Because we weigh everything else, right? Well, we measure how much gas goes in the car. We measure our meds if we're going to take some. We measure everything. Yeah. Yet when it comes to that, it's like, oh, no, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. It's crazy. It is, but
you hear quite a bit, though, the scale thing. Like, oh, my God.
We've heard that. We've heard that. Like, yeah. We've heard that from so many people for so long. Like, you measure all the food?
And people will say, like, that's so stressful. And I'm like, I'm a lot more stressed out about the thought of, like, oh, did I eat too much? You know, did I not eat enough? Like, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have that. Like, that's so much more disturbing to me than taking literally 30 seconds to.
I actually want to weigh it because I feel like I'm going to undereat. I'm like, I need to eat all the ounces. So if I don't get my scale, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to undereat. I mean, that's the other thing when you would say you take it to a restaurant and I'm like, people are going to think I'm crazy. And honestly, I don't care now. I've taken my scale everywhere.
Yeah. And let them think you're crazy.
But you know, like, I think, in conversation, I think that people are maybe under the impression that because you're weighing your food, you're restricting your.
Yes.
Right. It's like, no, you can't, it can only be this little bit. That's why you got to weigh it.
Nope.
When in fact, it's a lot the opposite, like it's bringing awareness. It's like, so that you know exactly what you're having. But I think that maybe the problem really isn't the weighing. It's that you think that you're depriving yourself and you don't want to do that, you know?
And honestly, that's one of the misconceptions. I've rarely been hungry. If anything, I'm like, I have to eat another meal. I'm like, I can't eat anymore. And that's, I mean, right now you gave me 15 ounces of rice. In like this week, every day, that's crazy. So there's most of the time I'm full. I'm like, I have to eat again. Oh my God, I can't do it. You know, and I do. I shove it in my mouth and I eat it, but I'm not hungry. It's the opposite. If anything, I mean, there's very few times like when we get obviously close to prep, and even then, when you took away the carbs, I remember we had all those vegetables and the meat and the this and the dressing, and I'm like, I can't eat anymore.
You were fuller then.
Yes, I was like, I can't do any more of these vegetables. So it's funny. I don't go hungry. It's the total opposite. And that's another misconception.
What about before we get into the Miami show, what about in your like circle, like friends, family? What were people asking you? Like, what were they saying?
Oh my God, I've gotten so many people, and you know, because I've referred so many people to you it's just the entire year I've had people texting. You know, sending me messages through Facebook, emails. It's incredible how many people are intrigued and they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm eating food and working out. Like, and you saw, there's some people that have asked me, are you taking human growth hormone or steroids? Like, I go, do I look that muscular? Like, really?
Thank you.
I'm like, thank you. So it's just people are, they don't know what to think. And I'm thinking, it's not a mystery. There's nothing magical that I'm doing. I'm just following what my coach is telling me to do. So, yeah. I mean, my friends have been really supportive, you know, and they've, you know, they've always been supportive and proud. My husband's, you know, the reason why I decided that I was going to do it was because my husband and I spoke about it and he was like, I think you should definitely do it. So then that was like, okay, green light, you know, cause that's a big support. And my family, you know, my mom and dad, you know, they're always like, what are you doing now? You're crazy, you know, and they don't care. But of course, the people that kind of think that you're nuts, they're not going to tell you to your face, really. So, whatever. But
yeah,
honestly, for the most part, for me, in my experience, everybody's been super supportive and kind of like very intrigued. Like, what are you doing? And what's going, how do you do it?
Questions? Like, did anybody ask you something? I mean, I know we got the steroid question.
Yeah, I was like, my God, I'm not that muscular. No, they just wanted to know, like, what do you eat? You know, what are you, do you eat carbs? I said, all day long, every day.
Was that carbs?
I'm eating rice and bread and pasta and French, because, you know, I'll go to the cafeteria. And it's funny because then some people are like, you know, they're having pizza or something. And then they see me and they're like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed. I'm eating pizza. I'm like, it's okay. I can eat pizza, you know? And then they'll see me having a burger and fries. And they're like, but that's what you eat? I'm like, yeah, it's ground beef, 5 ounces and 5 ounces of fries. That's potato. I can eat that. But it's just, and listen, I get it because I would have been the same way. I'm like, what are you doing? You're not supposed to eat that, you know?
When you don't know.
You don't know until you know. And so this is like a mysterious little secret world that no one really knows about, you know, because of what you see on these other, you know, these other teams, these other federations. You just see these people drinking. And then that's another thing. I used to make fun of these people with the gallons of water. And here I am walking in my hospital all over the place with my jug of water all the time. And I could care less. Like, that's the most liberating part. That I don't care what people think, you know? And I used to be like, why is that guy holding a gallon of water? What is that? You know? So it's just funny how.
The reason why, and we talk about this all the time, the reason why in the beginning, I think we care what people are going to think about pulling out a scale at a restaurant or the water, because we usually judge that, right?
Yeah.
So the things that we would have judged or talked about in the past, we are now assuming someone is judging of us, and they may or may not be, but I think I agree with you, like not really giving a shit, because here's the thing, at the end of the day, it's not really affecting anybody else.
Exactly. One.
Two, you're probably never going to see them again. And even if you do, even if they think you're nuts, right? Like even if it's someone close to you, you're nuts, they don't really have to live with any of it. So what does it matter? And you're right. It's super liberating to be like, I don't really give a shit. Like,
did you notice that anybody started to watch you and say, hey, are you supposed to be doing that? Are you supposed to be eating that?
My kids. my husband especially would be like, are you gonna take a picture of that for your coach? You know, like when I would like bite something I shouldn't, I said, no, I'm not, you know. And my kids are like, you're not supposed to eat that. I'm like, yes, I can eat this today, you know. But yeah, they were always monitoring me at work. You know, when I was out with people or working, I mean, honestly, being in this quarantine and pandemic actually worked to my benefit, because there was no social outings, no gatherings, happy hours, parties. I remember when things, like maybe in, was it July or August, when, you know, we got together a couple times, you know, for some home get-togethers. That was hard. And I had to really, like, I remember 4th of July, I was in the Keys, and they were having, you know, drinks and chips. And man, I had to really focus that weekend. Like, talk about mind control. It was like, okay, I got this, because I was going to be on stage in 2 weeks.
Right.
But it was hard. And
it would have been different if you weren't about to step on stage in 2 weeks, you know?
Exactly. But I mean, imagine if I had to do that all year long. I mean, oh, sorry. Can you see me? Oh, yeah. There it is. So it would have been really, really difficult. But being in this whole quarantine thing helped. It was the opposite, you know?
So because I have to. Don't realize how much it did help.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Because, you know, you couldn't be out all the time doing all this stuff, you know?
No.
We kept going. We made it all the way to, there was some uncertainty there on whether or not that Miami show was actually going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we kept going as if, and they finally gave us, you know, the green light. And they say it's going to be the last show of the year, the biggest show of the year.
Yeah.
And you know, we're going to pull out all the bells and whistles. Did that excite you a little bit more? Did it make you a little bit more nervous?
No, I was excited to do it again. I was really excited to do it again, and I love the fact that we were all doing it together. And then Laís was going to do it, because then it became a pro show. So I was looking forward to that. Like it was, I mean, like I was going to Disney World, and I don't even like Disney World, but I was excited. You know, it was going to be a fun weekend. We were all going to be there. And then honestly, that since I had already done it, I was so excited to see all the other girls that hadn't done it, know, their experience. Like, so I could see it now through them and just be there for them if they had questions and stuff. So I was super excited about it. I was like counting down the days, like, we're going to do this. It's going to be so much fun, you know? And it was an amazing weekend and it didn't go by so fast. It was perfect. So
because we say that a lot, like a lot of the stuff that we tell people is like, you've got to find something for you, right?
Yeah,
like the kids have something to look forward to. Like, I remember when Brie was in school, if she had a field trip to Universal or to Disney, like she was counting down the days.
Yeah. Yes.
She had it mapped. And or if she had something else, like they always have something to look forward to. And I think that as we get older, unless it's a family trip or something, like the things that we look forward to doing start to like diminish.
Yeah.
And I think that this thing gives a lot of people, you know, a thing for them.
And we talk about this all the time. Like, if you think back to all the years in school, from elementary school all the way up to college, it's like everyone has something, or especially up until high school, whether you play the drums or you dance or you cheerlead or you play football, or you run track, right? Whatever it is that you do, everyone does something. Even if your grades are awesome, like you have something, right? Something that challenges you, something that you look forward to, something that you know you're good at. So it's like, we all have a thing. And then on top of that thing, we all have a social life.
Like,
obviously our kids in school have a lot more friends than others, but there's always a social life. And while adults have social lives, it's still different, right? And I feel like most adults don't have a major social life like we do when we're kids. We get older, we get jobs, we get kids, we get families, and everything that we used to do for us, our thing, our social time starts to really diminish, but we grew up with it our whole life, right? And then it's like, it goes away and we're all okay with it. We just go through the days, but it's like, it shouldn't be like that. Like, one of the things that I love is exactly that. Like, you have your thing and now you have your friends that also have this thing. And all of a sudden it's like you're in high school again, right? Like, in a good way.
So
it really is that. Like, you have to have the goals and the things to look forward to and the things that scare you and make you grow and you can master and you can get better every time. And you do it with people who you're now friends with. Like, this provides all of that. So I love to hear when someone gets that out of that, because that's what
I mean. The friendships have been great, you know, like all these girls and Juan, you know, they're awesome. And Juan, you know, they're all moms. They all, you know, or not even moms. Some of them are not moms, but they all have, you know, we all follow each other on social media and, you know, you're sharing this whole journey and, you know, it's such a cool thing. Like, you're doing this together. And so later, like at this point in my life, and I'm 45, so you never think you're going to make new friends at this point. And then you do. And it's so cool. You know, it's a whole new group of friends now that you have, that you share this with, and, you know, you can meet every year at a show or do whatever. So it's really cool. It's very refreshing.
Listening to you and even listening to what she was saying, it's, you know, as parents, we always, if the kids are into something, you know, they do that thing. And if they got to travel on the weekend, we take them. And if they've got a tournament, we take them. Mm-hmm. And we encourage them doing the thing, right? But so much, I mean, so much I've seen that people don't do it for themselves, right? And a lot of times they get caught up in their kids thing. And that's the thing that fills them.
That becomes their thing.
That becomes their thing. But
you get the mom guilt. The mom guilt is real.
Even on the friend part, because I feel like we don't discuss that enough. Like, a lot of adult friends are convenience friends. They're either your high school or college friends because you've known them so long, so you're friends with them. Or they're your coworkers, or they're the moms from soccer or from your kids' class and PTA or whatever people do in school, right? Or they're like friends of family, or they're your neighbor. Like, there's a reason why they're your friend. And those friends are great. But now you have a set of friends that completely get what you're doing and who you're trying to become, right?
Yeah.
Even though with all different personalities, all walks of life, all different journeys, you have this one thing in common. So it's like, you have the one thing in common with your neighbor, you live in the same place, right? You have your one thing in common with the soccer mom, your kids go to soccer, but you personally don't have anything in common, maybe you do.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's like, you have a very personal thing in common.
Right, because this is your thing.
This goal, this journey, this quest to bettering yourself.
Yeah.
Right? So it makes it for really strong friendships. And again, maybe you don't see them every day, but you get to go through that journey with them and then spend that weekend with them. So I love what you said about, you know, now you got to see other girls who were doing it for the first time, but that you already knew all year. You prepped yeah. all year, you posed with all year, you chatted with all year, and now here you are all together to do this thing. So yeah. it's really, really cool to hear that, like on my end, because it's one of the things that we always try to build is like that yeah. team friendship, you know?
So yeah, did it, sure. made it all the way to Miami, mm-hmm. right? And the event was all go. How did that weekend go for you?
It was great. It was from beginning to end. It was amazing. I mean, Eric, and what was awesome was that at the very last minute, pretty much like 15 minutes before I left my house, Erica texted me and I don't know what, and I said, you want me to pick you up? And she's like, you know, that'll be great. Cause she was going to Uber. So I picked her up and I said, this is full circle. You're the one that introduced me to this a year ago. And here I am going to the show with you. How cool is that?
That's so awesome.
That was amazing. Like we were driving together. I'm like, you're the one that introduced me to this whole thing. And I'm going to a show with you to do a show. So that was awesome. That was one of those cool moments.
That is so cool.
It was awesome. So, and you know, so she was, you know, with me a lot during the weekend and stuff like that. So, you know, we talked a lot and then just seeing all the girls, you know, coming in and, you know, Carrie being there again, like she was in Dallas, like cheering us on, you know, as always. It was just awesome. It was great to see all the people that I had been following on social media because, you know, obviously after the first show, you start kind of like, oh, I want to follow this person and this person. So, you know, then you see them all in person. And then all of them don't look like they do in their pictures. Like, what's
Instagram
going on?
Instagram is very deceiving.
So, my God, yeah. But no, it was such a good vibe. It was such a good vibe. I mean, I know we sound like broken records, but it was really like a magical weekend. It was so perfect. It was perfect. So we had a great time from beginning to end. I mean, we were all hanging out in, you know, in the lobby, hanging out for the check-ins and, you know, registration. The photo shoot was amazing. Yes. Everything was great. Backstage, we were all helping each other. You know, people that we didn't know, we were helping them. They were helping us. I mean, there was a lot of chaos, things that were happening back there. You know, like I think Doris was saying it the other day, like this girl had, you know, her tan got messed up. And yeah. she was right in front of me and I was like, I'm going to have to be the one to tell her. But I thought if I tell her, we have no way to resolve this problem, but I have to tell her. So of course I told her, she completely had a meltdown. She started crying. We had to console her. Like it was insane. But, so yeah, you know, all kinds of stuff like that, but it was great. It was so much fun.
Stories to tell.
All kinds of stories. Memories from the show.
Yes.
And we were picking out backstage. It was, you know, we did another little video. So it was a lot of fun.
That's great. That's honestly like, that's really what we set out to do.
Yeah.
Because
it's accomplished.
That was what she experienced, right? Like her first yeah. time.
And I went by myself. That's crazy. We're backstage.
Crazy.
And the stage part is cool, but it is either icing on the cake or something else that's part of that weekend. That whole weekend thing is really yeah. like what makes it come to life.
Yeah,
for sure. Part,
while it seems in the beginning and even the whole prep, like that's what you're aiming for. Like it's literally just like the cherry on top, right? Like it's just, it's a part, it's a component of the whole journey, but it's not the thing, right?
Yeah. And there's so much leading up to it because I mean, you know, like staying engaged, like, you know, we always do. That's a huge thing, you know, for me, especially because, you know, you meet with your team, you build the bonds, you do posing, you do little, you know, little workshops, you do the, you know, the, what's it called? Like when we will meet for the posing workshop, you know, in the hotel and in the gym, the core class, like all those things leading up to the photo shoots, you know,
yeah.
all those chats, like all that stuff, you know, like hypes you up and gets you excited and keeps you engaged. And that's a huge part of it because, you know, you're planning, you know, your photo shoot outfits, you're designing your bikini, everyone's sending, you know, pictures to each other. It's just, there's a lot going on. It's not just like work out and get on stage.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a journey. It's a bunch of moving parts. And so it all comes together like that night, you know, and it's so cool to see it all come together.
Yes.
The physique, the bikini, everything. Everything happens.
Yes, excellent. So you were on stage 10, 11 days ago, right? That's
November 29th.
Yeah, today's December 9th. So what's next for Marcia?
Marcia. I'm ready to go again. I'm excited. I mean, that week, honestly, it was like a blur. Every time, it happened to me in Dallas too. The week I came back, I was so tired. It's like, oh my God. Yeah. I was drained. And you know, you get like that fatigue, a meal plan. I'm like, I'm not following anything, which I did, but you know, you start cheating because you're just done. But then I felt horrible. I felt bad all week. And I kept telling you, I'm like, I feel horrible. And you're like, be careful. But you were right. I felt horrible all week. But you know, I'm back on track and, you know, I'm getting ready to start again and I'm excited to see what's going to happen next because I'm only going to get better, you know, if we have 6 months, this is like amazing. It's a lot of time. I always wanted to do Orlando. So, you know, that was where it all started.
Talk about things coming full circle.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, so
what would you say? Like, what would you say, like, obviously, you know, we share this everywhere. What would you say to somebody who's listening to this and maybe they're curious, maybe they're on the fence, maybe they're like, man, could I do something like that? Or, you know, whatever thought process is going through their mind as they hear your story, what would you say to somebody to, you know, to tell them, go out and get it?
No, absolutely. Like I said, some people, you know, have asked me and like, you know, Jenny, that she's new on the team. I was talking to her today and I said, you know, it is such an incredible experience that I never thought it was going to be like this. I really did not. I had no idea what to expect, but it was everything and more. And it's very doable, but obviously you have to put in the work. It's not going to just happen. But, you know, honestly, when I went on there, I remember you guys asked me, what's your goal? And I'm like, I want to look like J-Lo. Like, that's my goal.
That's everyone's goal.
Like, shoot. But, you know, like to bring, like to feel confident and like sexy and, you know, like to feel like a woman again, because you get lost in being a mom and, you know, wife and craziness. But, you know, you get to be a girl and wear the makeup and the glam. And it's such a fun thing to do. And then on top of that, you get a badass body to go with it, you know? And like you said, some people don't want to do it again. And some people get hooked. And honestly, like I've kind of gotten hooked on my, like changing my physique. And it's so cool how you can mold it. And, you know, obviously with your help, like now I want to get my nicer shoulders and my legs and just see the changes, especially those pictures, like those pictures, that just blows me away. The difference when you look at the pictures, because then you see the progress, like
changing everything. People are so against it when I tell them,
take Oh my God.
Oh my God. No pictures. I'm like, you need pictures. Don't send them to me. Take them.
Yeah. So, I mean, no, I just, honestly, I really enjoy it. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying, you know, seeing the changes. I'm working harder for the next thing and doing it all over again. I think it's amazing. It's a great thing to have for yourself, as a woman and for so many reasons. I mean, there's tons of reasons. So I would say, hell yeah, for sure. People need to try it, you know, and it's not that hard. It's really not that hard. So I'm all for it.
I love it.
I'll let you know.
What do you think? And I asked Julie this last time we did it, so I figured I'd ask everybody. What has been the most impactful thing that you have gotten out of this whole journey, like the entire process?
The most impactful thing.
Like what has impacted you as a person or your life or your family or whatever, like what has been?
I mean, honestly, the confidence that it's and I'm still working on it, you know, that it's giving me, it's not done, because, you know, the posing, like I say, is always a thing for me. And so that's like my goal. I want to go up there and just bring it completely. I mean, granted, you're always going to be nervous, but just to really like come into my own and be like, I got, you know, now this is me up there, you know, karaoke Marcia, she's up on the stage. But yeah, the confidence of just, you know, rocking it and doing, you know, just feeling good. And I already feel good. It's just bringing it all together. And I think it's just the experience, you know, the more you do it, the more comfortable you are with it. Yeah, but definitely doing something that's for me and feeling good. Just, I feel good inside and out. Not just the physique, but for the mind. And you guys have taught us a lot along the way, you know, because it's not just about working out. It's like all the stuff, you know, the mindset and the, you know, the story you tell yourself and, you know, like it's those things make a huge difference. You know, it's not just do the workout. It's, you know, when you're having a crappy day, it, like every workout's not going to be amazing, but you know, you're like, I got this, I got to do it, you know, and do it. So let me get my battery. So, you know, it's mostly that. It's just a lot of things that I've learned along the way. Hold on, I'm going to grab this battery. So I mean, it's still honestly a work in progress, you know, like it's not, it's definitely not over.
He says it all the time. You're moving.
I'm sitting on the floor.
He says it all the time. You're a moving target. So I don't think we ever truly arrive.
No. You know? Yeah.
But just being able to realize how far we've come, you know, and really feel those changes. For me too, I think the biggest things for me have always been the doing the thing for me and the amount of confidence that I've been able to gain from it. And the confidence doesn't come from the abs or anything like that. It comes from setting a big goal, seeing it through, you know, sticking to it on the days where it's hard, getting off that stage and being like, I did that, looking at all the pictures and being like, I was better than I was last time, right? So it's like all of those things, the big and the little things, little by little, it's like brick by brick, just build confidence.
I do have one thing, honestly, that I just thought about that has been really nice. And it's been the some people that have reached out that have told me, you know, you don't know this, but because of you and your videos and watching your journey, you've inspired me to start working out. You've inspired me to be like healthier. And I'm like, wow. And these people had never reached out to me. I mean, I haven't heard from them in years. That is pretty freaking cool. You know, that you had a part in someone else's journey to get healthier and fit and work out. And that's happened, I think, just in the past few months, like 3 times. It's awesome. That part is great. Cause you never know. You never know who's watching and who you can inspire.
You never know.
And that's just an added bonus, you know?
And as you reach a lot of these goals, like your standards change, right? Like when you look at your body now, if I would have showed you a picture of what you were going to look like now, that first day doing all the things that we did, you know,
you would have been like, no way. Or I'd be happy with that. But as you start to go
and your hit somebody's target,
yeah,
and we just keep getting better, you know, and that's honestly what we're all in pursuit of, you know, getting better from what we did the last time.
Yeah. And again, those are all things that you learn along the way, because I kept saying, are you sure? You know, I don't know. And you know, cause you don't, you have to kind of put your trust, you know, and just trust the process, like you always say. But yeah, you're kind of like, is this really going to happen? You know?
And it'll happen again. You know, it happens with her still. It happens with everybody. You know, as we move into this next phase for you, there will be like, you know.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about.
I have to replay some of this for you in a couple months.
I know.
So that's very normal. But that is also part of the process, right? And I think that that happens because these are these stretch goals where we got to push a little bit further than we thought we were gonna. And. Yeah. You know, at the end, we turn around, we're like, wow, like I really did all that.
Yeah. And honestly, that's one of those things that until like my husband pointed it out for me, you know, like he's like, you should be proud. You know, you did this. And I'm like, well, what's the big deal? He's like, not everybody can do this. You know, you put in the work, you committed to it and you're doing it. Like he was impressed. So, I did that. Yeah. I'm like, pat myself on the back.
And I think that while we know we're nervous, we downplay what a big deal it is to step on a stage in a bikini in front of other people.
And be judged.
And be judged on the way you look. Like that's people's biggest insecurity is to be judged, let alone in a bikini under lights on a stage, right? Like it sounds terrible when I say it like that, but it's the truth. So yeah, it's a big goal. Yeah, it's a big deal, right? Yeah. Jumping out of an airplane, like that's freaking crazy, right? And not everyone's going to do it. Like I would never do that. Right. But they want to like achieve that. And that's great. So this is one of those things where, it's a big deal. Even if you know that your diet wasn't crazy and you didn't suffer and you weren't hungry, doesn't downplay the accomplishment, you know, even if it's not exactly where you want to be yet physically, doesn't downplay the accomplishment. Like you did that thing. And it's really, if you put it in perspective, like a big thing and very scary in a lot of ways.
I would never, nobody ever thinks they're going to do this. Yeah. Like I would never, ever have thought that I was going to do this ever. I mean, people are like, wow, you're going to get on a stage in a bikini and heels. I'm like, I know it's crazy, but I did it and I'm doing it again and again.
And
was awesome.
I love it.
Thank you, Marcia, for coming on. It was a pleasure to have you on. For anybody watching, you could ask questions in the comment section. You could share this everywhere. And we hope that we have you on again after you get on stage in Orlando.
Yes.
Orlando 2021.
Yes.
We'll be there.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Peace out.
Night, night.
Bye.
Bye.